Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited that Elizabeth Wood is back with us today. And today we're talking about real, raw relationships. And you know, there's something in the air, I have to tell you, because this stuff is coming up and stuff is happening, right? So yes. Today, what we're going to learn with Elizabeth is about, you know, not, you know, if you're tired of not getting along or feeling like you belong, and that is such an old, old story, an old paradigm of not feeling like you belong. But we're going to talk about that. If you're sick of not connecting at that deep level that you crave, you can't seem to find the people who get you. And these are some of the common complaints of most awakened people like me and you and everybody else on the call. So you aren't alone, and others on a similar journey have discovered what exactly to shift within to get the results outside yourself. So we're going to talk about that. How to approach topics that interest you with people who might normally shun them. Ending the uncomfortable chit-chat and the worry about the past and future, and then how light and emotional processing can completely shift how you're in relationship to people, places, and things. And of course, so much more. We're also going to be probably doing processes like we do. There's going to be live Q&A as well. So Elizabeth is going to be taking some questions. And we had Elizabeth on the show last season. Had a wonderful conversation, wonderful time. But for those of you who may be new to Elizabeth and her work, she is considered a world-class seer. She works on the cutting edge of galactic and quantum anthropology. She's had a lifelong ability to see into all dimensions. And with this gift, she enjoys combining a scientific approach with spiritual human experience. So we're going to talk to Elizabeth, but even some of that, what does she mean by galactic and quantum anthropology and so much more? So Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
My puppy wants to play now. It's like, I can't play now. We're having a show. So again, that is, you know, again, that's a relationship, right? So
it is.
Real raw relationship. So even we have a relationship with our puppies, right?
That's exactly right. I was thinking about your relationship with your puppy before we got on, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's going well. He's the greatest. And so, you know, we were talking about, you know, before we went live, we were talking about how, you know, stuff has been going on. Stuff has been coming up. To be honest, I had a real raw relationship issue this weekend, which, you know, was not fun, you know, but it brought up so much stuff, right? And gave me so many different awarenesses and some stuff that I'd never even thought about, you know? So it's like, okay, awesome. Thank you for that. You know, I took it as a positive, even though like it felt like shit, you know, going through it, but it's like there were some good things, you know. So it's like, okay, there's still some areas where there's some growth opportunities. We're gonna call it that.
Yeah, sure.
Right, to be kind, to some growth opportunities. But when you're talking about real raw relationships, you know, it's also about you being vulnerable, right? Yeah. You yourself being vulnerable with people, with the people that you're having a relationship with, including yourself, including the universe.
Yes. That's what that rawness is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd like to point out too, you know, it feels like shit, but poop's like one of the best things to put in your garden, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That is true.
Exactly. Well, first I want to talk about connection, and you know, one of the top complaints I get from a lot of the awakened community is, I don't feel connected to anybody around me. Mm-hmm. The people that I am connected to don't get me. I don't feel like I belong. And it creates a cycle of everything from abandonment to obviously that sensation of, wow, I really don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And there's that ego piece coming up right there to show up for you. And this is a good thing. You know, Lara, we beat up on the ego a lot.
Yeah.
And we say, no more ego, no more ego. But it's actually so important. And ego is one of our greatest helpers in awakening. And what is this whole awakening thing anyway? When we say that we're not really connected to people around us, part of it's because, well, they're not necessarily as aware of the reality of you being source, them being source, having immortal souls, they're not thinking in that way. When we say someone's awake, I was thinking about this today. What does that even mean? What does that mean? How can you say that you're awake and someone isn't? Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually more of a framework of thinking. And so I'm walking around in reality and all these people are orbiting me, mm-hmm. people, places, and things that I have relationships with. And it's actually source I'm having a relationship with. I'm source having a source relationship with itself. And that's a framework that I don't stop thinking about. I also don't stop thinking about how the person in front of me is an immortal soul first, that their body is not the thing that I'm talking to anymore. And so when I speak to someone, I'm speaking to their soul, from a soul to another soul, not as Elizabeth anymore, but I'm dropping my identity entirely to speak as a soul. That does a bunch of different things, and we'll get into how that leads us to help shift into topics that are important to us and away from boring chit-chat that really drives everybody nuts. But to notice someone in front of you and say, they're not aware of this. This is not their function at the moment. Functioning from a level where they're in a witness state, that they're not just a body with an identity. That's what awake means. And from there, then you're working towards becoming more and more one with source so that there's no separation between you and the people around you, whether you're getting along or not. So here's the trick. It's a good way to shift your viewpoint, no matter what relationship you're having with a person, place, thing, animal, plant, doesn't matter, that you're speaking to the light within them. So even just don't worry about the soul part. Focus in on the light within them, the energy that makes that person, place, or thing conscious, right? So you're speaking to source within that person, place, or thing. Use that as your mindset shift. And in the moment, let's say you're having a fight with your crazy neighbor, which has been going on with us. Or you're having a tiff with your loved one. Or stuff's just stressful. That mindset shift, that simple mindset shift, I'm not really this body. I'm not really the body suffering. I'm not really this personality or identity suffering. I'm an immortal soul. I am part of source. And so is this person, place, or thing in front of me. Can I tap into that mentally? So we have to visualize it. We have to mentally get it. And then you're going to feel it. You'll feel that connect. That's what everyone's missing. Because you can feel connected to any person, place, or thing at any time. You can be in the middle of Walmart and feel connected to source. All you have to do is shift that mindset slightly. And this takes practice because you're going to retrain your brain. You're going to retrain your body to be in that connection. All right, I need to get real about reality right now. I'm in Walmart at the moment, or I'm literally in the middle of a fight. I need to get real about reality. Hey, brain mind, what's really going on? I'm a spiritual being having a physical experience. That's first and foremost. Okay, with that knowledge, nothing that is said or done, nothing mean or negative that's happening around you can actually really hurt you. See, that's the thing about suffering, is that the soul doesn't suffer. It's the body and personality and ego that suffers. When all these different people who have attained these enlightened states say that they don't suffer anymore, well, that's because they've grounded their reality in being a soul first and foremost, not the body. Does their body hurt? Do they have reactions in their body? Yeah, totally. But they're not actually taking part in that energetic and going really deep into that sort of crevice of density any longer because they're recognizing it. Well, that's my body bringing in information through my emotions, through my emotional body, which is so precious. not every being has an emotional body. People are surprised when I say angels don't feel. Most beings in the universe don't have emotional bodies. We're incredibly blessed. It's incredibly valuable to be a human being. And it's a very coveted thing to be a human. A lot of us say, what, really? This sucks. I don't want to be like this. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't read the fine print. And, you know, that's the thing is, that's something we have to really get past as an awakened being in a situation where we don't feel comfortable, where we don't feel ourselves, and we don't feel like we can be ourselves. But why? Why do we put those compartmentalizations around us? Why do we actually compress our field to make other people comfortable? Well, that's the trick, is that that's a lie. That's a negative program you've all been taught. I've been taught it. We've all been taught this. Oh, make your field a little bit, you know, more comfortable for everybody else. The exact opposite is what you ought to be doing. So once you stand in that recognition, I'm a soul. I am not actually harmed by all the pain and suffering that my body and identity feel. I'm learning from it as a soul. That's the piece that's so vital, is that we're learning from it. We're advancing from the trouble. We don't advance when it's easy. We advance when our egos get triggered. We advance when all that crazy crap happened this weekend. That's you advancing and adding more fodder to your cultivation of self-growth, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's messy. And good. Good. Yeah, it should be messy. Because if it's all neat and tidy and everything, like maybe other lifetimes we've had, then we're not going to advance. So that's what's cool about being human. That's why a lot of times people say, well, I don't feel comfortable being human. No, it's not meant to be comfortable. Drop the idea that this was all supposed to be comfortable right away.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go, because it's not real. What is real? The fact that you're an immortal soul animating the body. We know that because when you leave the body, it doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's a simple realization. I'm the soul animating the body. Whoa, everybody else is too. They might not realize that. They might not function from that framework, but you being awake means that you're functioning from that framework. So I often point out too that some people will be awake and then they'll stop being awake. Well, that's a cycle. They'll have cycles of feeling awake and not feeling awake. That's because that issue that keeps coming up, that throws them into suffering, right, needs to be fully addressed. We will often avoid them. And here I'm telling you, one of the hardest things about being human is that we aren't meant to avoid any of it. That if there's fear, anger, despair, if there's trouble, I mean, even the really darkest of the dark thoughts, which, hey, I'm very familiar with, That's a signpost on the road that's pointing the direction you're being asked to go. And you'll keep coming back around to that signpost until you do go that direction. So follow the fear.
Yeah.
Follow the despair. Follow it down to its bare bones. You will find the reason that keeps coming up at the bottom. So it's sort of like, let's use the garden as our metaphor. We're pulling out the weed of, well, this whole life sucks and being human is not fun and it's all suffering and I don't feel connected. We're pulling that weed out. It's a negative program that you're taught early on in order to function in this slave system here on this planet, in order to be a good slave. If, you know, all the people who don't visualize themselves or think of themselves as slaves, whether they're awake or elite or whatever, well, they don't have that mindset at all. You're going to replant a new mindset. It takes practice. Be diligent about it every day. Say it in the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am a soul animating this body. And kind of ring that in your head all the time. Go to the store. I'm a soul animating this body, and so is everybody else. you'll be shocked at how much more physically, emotionally connected you feel to everything. Then there's this second piece around compressing your energy field. That's crazy. Stop it. Stop trying to make everybody comfortable. That's not how we do things in the soul level work we're here to do. Stop meeting people at their level. You know, I used to really pride myself in saying, oh, I meet people at their level, but I was in agony doing that, constantly compressing my field to go into their field. And I realized, this is a mess. I'm never going to keep this up. I'm going to die young. Because it's like, you know, it's incredibly difficult. And then you don't want to be around people at all. I'm sure like 20 million people on this call could raise their hand and be like, yep, hate it. Part of that's because we've been taught that meeting someone at their level or making other people comfortable is going to help us feel connected. Another big, huge, giant lie that's not going to serve anybody. So here's another way to function, a tip, a trick here. Don't compress your energy. Let your field be big and wide and expect that all the light that you're bringing through is going to toss stuff up. I had a wonderful friend and client say to me, how come every relationship I have always blows up? Like, how can I make that stop? And I started laughing. I said, no, you should expect it. Mm-hmm. Expect it. Expect that the light's going to do stuff. What does high vibration and powerful light do? Well, powerful light shines light on flaws. It shines light on troubles. It shines light on the stuff that's really hard for us to deal with. It also bleaches stuff, right? Because it's trying to bring it back into it, the same light wavelength. Anyone who has lawn furniture knows that the sun, in a very short time, can bleach stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, what is light really doing to you then? Bleaching is the dissolving of your suffering identity. Light dissolves your suffering identity.
Wow.
What's it going to do to the people around you? The same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then that suffering identity comes to the surface. Well, that's what vibration does, right? So if you're shaking something up a whole lot, the big rocks come to the surface. The big stuff comes to the surface. What's going on right now with the earth? She's gone like my vibrating table I just bought. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's going to happen? It's all going to come to the surface. Big, giant boulders worth of stuff is coming up here, folks, because we can't jump off the cliff of consciousness, on the cutting edge of consciousness, like we're all being called to at the moment, until we ditch all the boulders.
Mm, right.
So how do you dissolve boulders? What are the boulders? The boulders are the suffering. The boulders are the cycles. The patterns, the boulders are the frequencies that are very uncomfortable and low. The boulders are all of the traumatized selves that you have, lots and lots and lots of those. All of the negative programs that show up in your life, all the resistance. That one's tricky. How do we know we're resisting? Your body will tell you. It will fight and it will be painful, and you're going to be like, wow, I'm physically suffering because you're in resistance. And we want to avoid that trail, that sign that says, go down here. It's full of fear. We're like, no, I don't want to. And then we'll physically have it show up over and over and over again because it's the big, huge thing that needs to be addressed. To shift any boulders in your field, to shift all of the trauma, to shift the negative programs and the judgment, the self-judgment especially, and all of the expectations and attachments too. Those are the top things around egoic structure. Expectations, attachments, judgments, and resistance. And then you dig in deep and you find the traumatized selves. You find the epigenetic memories of all of your trauma from your ancestors too. It's messy. Why did we choose this? Why did we want to come here and be human?
Exactly. Why? And I think that's what a lot of people are asking. Why would I have chosen this?
Yeah. There's two answers. One is personalized answer. You're here to advance your soul's skill sets and eventually to leave all the skill sets behind and dissolve your identity so that while you're in the body, you remember being from source. That's what true remembrance is. We did not sign any contracts to forget. The forgetting comes from the trauma built up in the DNA, built up in the human experience. So we're here with very powerful souls now. All of you who are listening and will listen are incredibly powerful. All the people who aren't awake are incredibly powerful too. And we come into these bodies at this specific time on Earth, which is a very unique time. We're in waters that we've never traversed before, very much physically in space and very much physically in consciousness. So here we are. We're incredibly powerful. We get into these bodies where we forget that we're powerful because they're so full of junk and trauma. Well, me and you and all of us, we are here to shift that trauma out of the way so we can have actual physical enlightened experiences. You see, as an anthropologist, I want to point something out. The human being, the Homo sapien, didn't just appear out of nowhere. It was because that's what archaeology would like you to think. That suddenly, even after a million years of a very successful being on this planet, Homo erectus was here for a million years, twice as long as us. They didn't have any problems. They took over the world easily, no problem. But they were not Homo sapiens. And suddenly, out of nowhere, appears Homo sapiens. Why? Because it was a spiritual event, not a physical one. It turned into a physical event. It changed the DNA of the beings that we chose to come in and inhabit their bodies. And that's, you know, a very long, deep part of our history. But those original humans were directly connected to Source God. I mean, we have ancient writings talking about it. They lived for almost 1,000 years. And we have very, very clear writings about how long the original ancient humans really lived. Furthermore, the human experience is not just the physical one, obviously, but in the physical body. Here you entered into a physical body that didn't have a bunch of trauma built up into it. So that would mean that you could use the full capacity of the human form. And the human form, scientifically, actually the brain, makes structure at all dimensions. Go look this up. Don't just take my word for it. This is science here. The brain makes structures on all dimensions, which means the whole physical body, and especially the brain, is capable of tapping into all dimensions of information and reality. So we came here to help clean that up, to get it back into the position it was. The human body really hasn't evolved that much since the beginning at all. And so here we're in these habitats that are not natural, like a house up off of the ground. That's not how our bodies are meant to live. Not at all. I'm not a conspiracy theorist thinking that tennis shoes were like made to cut us off from the earth, but they have been made and they cut us off of the earth. And so do cars and asphalt and concrete and everything. So the physical experience, we're here to reclaim it. You're here to reclaim your body, to reclaim your physical experience. And in the reclaiming of it, more light comes through you from source in order to inform the rest of conscious humanity. So that's the first answer of why the heck did we choose now, the craziest time on earth? Oh, good. I'm really glad you did. That means you're really strong. And you're here to do something about our relationships with each other. And the earth, of course.
But, you know, all of us who are on this call, who are going to listen later, you know, in going through our different realities, experiences, is any of this actually helping anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about that. I'll give you some real good examples. But the second answer to it is a broader answer that has to do with the purpose of the universe. Because the whole point of consciousness is that we seem like we're individuated. That's an illusion. And so the whole experiment on Earth is, hey, can human beings remember that they're part of the source God, and while they're in a physical body, can they enjoy all dimensions while being in a physical 3D form? That was the experiment at the very beginning, and it's reset, and that's the experiment now. So here you are being asked, can you remember, can you really be a soul first and foremost? Part of it's just a simple mindset change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then the answer of like, well, why is this whole thing happening in the first place? It's very simple. This universe is based off of a particular question, and every universe is. So there's this incredible multiverse, and the source of all of these multiverses is trying to answer very incredible questions. And this universe's question is, what is love? What is this idea of love? And well, what happens when you start trying to find out about love? You find out what love is not as well. So every single person's purpose is to discover what is love from your perspective. Nobody else's, just yours. What is love and what is not love? Think about that next time you're around someone who's really, really not awake, because that's the next step, is making sure your field is large, full of light, noticing when any emotions come through and triggers and reactions, because all that's coming through so it can be shifted, so it can be transformed. It needs to be acknowledged and or just noticed so that it can move through. The fear, the despair needs to be acknowledged by your soul so that it can dissolve. The boulders need to be seen. They need to be seen. They need that light shine right on them.
Absolutely.
So let me give you a really good raw example of how this inner work, how this simple shift of I'm a soul and I'm living in this body, this is my body machine, how that actually changes everything around you. That's the little tiny shift that will have a supernova effect around you. Because in that place, it's very difficult to continue allowing your ego to run lots of judgments, to run lots of pain and reactions as a normal way of functioning. Because if you're a soul and they're a soul, and none of the judgments or pain or suffering can actually hurt the soul, it definitely is felt by your body and your emotional body. But acknowledging it and being able to be a soul first gives you the chance to do that big job of discovering what is love. It turns out that love is a harmonic. It's a creative force that actually is a frequency, a set of frequencies that creates physical reality on all dimensions. That's a definition of love that I believe science will actually have sooner than later. So, because love is an elemental piece of our reality. I always say, there's no dark matter. There isn't. There's no dark matter. They're on a crazy hunt for this, partly as distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But there is love.
and
that's something that I think science will have to acknowledge. All right, so let's get real about this. I have a marriage. I have children. I have a just turned 3-year-old, just turned 5-year-old, a 16-year-old. This marriage I've been in for 7 years, and I've had a lot of different kinds of relationships, many of them incredibly abusive, and have stuck around in them even.
Mm-hmm.
I had a partner who was possessed, and being a seer who sticks around with someone who's possessed, why in the world would I do that? Well, here's the thing. Incredible changes happen when you shift your mindset from being a soul. So at one point, I was in this very deep part of my marriage where all the junk, all the biggest boulders in my husband's experience started to come to the surface because I was changing my frequency. I was working on me, mm-hmm. and I don't stop. I'm diligent about this. I know it's the number one thing I can do to make changes happen in my family, for my husband, for everyone around me, whether they are awake or not. So at this point, it was actually going to be a big choice. Am I going to leave this marriage or am I going to stick around? And I could feel it deep in my soul. This is my chance to walk my talk. I thought I was walking my talk before. And then this big, huge, holy cow boulder comes up, you know, flying out of space and hits me full on. Mm-hmm. And so am I going to leave or am I going to stay? Am I going to walk my talk? What does that mean? My job is to discover what is love. I get to choose right now. Am I going to discover what is not love or what is love? I chose to discover what is love. What is unconditional love? Can I stand in true, full forgiveness, emotionally process my pain? Key point there. Because I couldn't have done this if I didn't emotionally process my pain. Mm-hmm. I welcomed the pain. I discovered it. I understood it, and it dissolved. So then moving through that, I processed the pain, and on the other side, I could say, I'm not going to stop loving you. In fact, I'm going to love you so unconditionally that there is nothing you could do or say that would ever even hurt me or harm me, which was being done. I was feeling the hurt and harm, but I was welcoming it so that it could dissolve. It didn't remain mm-hmm. as a built-up callus in my field. I'm going to stand in this frequency of love, and I'm going to let it transform me. And as that did that, it moved out and through the whole field, and my husband began to change. And this is something that happened very quickly. And people are saying, well, it takes so long. Actually, unconditional love has a very dramatic effect quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And so what I watched is my husband becoming more and more uncomfortable with his own boulders. Because I can't fix those boulders. I can only fix mine. And that's important. You can't dissolve those boulders for people. They really got to go into them.
Yeah.
But you can hold that place, that strength, and radiate unconditional love and say, there isn't anything you could do or say that will stop my soul from being in this total love, because I'm choosing to discover this part of the polarity. What is love? This is love. I'm going to be it right now, even though I might not understand it fully with my brain mind. My soul knows this. This is love. I'm going to be this love right now. And I'm going to cry, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to have days where it's hard and days where it's easy. And while I was doing that, noticing it moving through my family members, then my husband acknowledged his big boulders mm-hmm. because he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop being frequency shifted, right? There wasn't a whole lot of words said about this, except, I love you no matter what. I'm not going to stop radiating that love. This is the choice I'm making right now. And I sat there at the kitchen table one morning and I said, because he hadn't changed his behaviors. He was realizing what was going on, but he hadn't changed his behaviors. And I looked at him, I said, this isn't you against me. It's me holding this particular frequency that you're resisting. And what's the resistance? It's that you haven't forgiven yourself. I've forgiven you. You haven't forgiven yourself. Blam. It just hit him like a boulder that I was right. He hadn't forgiven himself, and he burst into tears at the kitchen table. He said, you're right. I haven't forgiven myself fully. And I said, just breathe. Welcome it. Welcome the discomfort. and move through it. Now, he did this, Alara, in a matter of, 10 minutes at the kitchen table one morning, after about a month of us finally figuring this out, and me figuring it out, mm-hmm. and deciding not to give up, that I'm going to maintain this unconditional love. Now, what happened was, he was able to walk through that big boulder of not forgiving himself, that worthlessness that he had. It dissolved, and then it shifted out of his field. He felt physically lighter. He felt physically more connected. He felt capable of attaining the things that he'd been wanting to attain, but his worthlessness had gotten in the way. Mm-hmm. In a matter of hours, he actually had access to the production software suddenly that he'd been wanting for over a decade. But all that worthlessness was actually in the way of him connecting to what he needed. And here's Source right in his driveway saying, dude, you just got to move this boulder out of the way because I've got all this grace to give you. I've got stuff to give you. Move this junk out of the way. Move your trauma. Mm-hmm. Out of the way. Fully go into it, fully experience it so it can dissolve. And he did. Hours went by and he received what he needed to be able to move forward in his own career and his own journey as a soul. Now, this is continued because the frequency gets higher and higher and higher. So then my children have changed. My children's behavior has completely changed. Because I'm the one deciding to be in total and unconditional love and radiating that. So I hold space, but I radiate power and light, and so do all of us. Physically, it's part of what our bodies are good at. Mm-hmm. We're photon generators, is like one of my friends likes to call it, photon generator. And so that light, it goes places. When you look up at the stars at night and you see all that light, tens of years old.
Yeah.
Where does your light go? Out to the edges of the universe. How do you know things are changing? Just look around you at your initial field, and you'll watch these continuations unfold as you're choosing to discover the what is love part of the equation. And in that choice, you're going to find your own junk come up, and you're going to be processing it by welcoming it. We don't turn away. We welcome it. We go through the pain fully. We welcome it, and so entirely the body releases it. And this is a very literal process. It feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happens when you're around people who you don't spend a whole lot of time with, right? So they're not getting that full blast every day. And what happens when you're around people who aren't awake and they're chit-chatting or my favorite, talking about the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over again, as if it's there in the moment. Well, here's the trick. Remember that it's a process. I'm a soul, they're a soul. I'm not going to compress my field. I'm not going to make myself smaller. That's a very physical thing. Doesn't yeah. mean you have to necessarily be vocal about how powerful you are, though that might be needed. Just trust your heart and gut there, and let your heart be wide. Hold a space that's so big that it radiates, and then it continues to move through you. So I'm actually personally trying to move the word holding out of my vocabulary and replace it with radiating.
Mm-hmm. I like that better too. I radiate love, radiate peace, radiate grace, whatever it happens to be. Yeah.
Precisely. And now you're getting to the next step. What's missing here? Usually when people are talking about the past, right, they're worried. They're worried that it's going to happen again, or they're bitter about it because they're holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So notice that. All right. What is that frequency? What is that pain that's going on? So I'll give you an example. My mother-in-law is wonderful. She's a good, beautiful person. And she's got these painful things that have happened to her. And so they really rule her mind. because it's something that constantly is there that bothers her. And so at one point, I actually was in this space, right? So I was recognizing her soul, noticing that I'm a soul first, letting my light radiate, letting source light radiate. It's not mine. It has nothing to do with me. Letting source light radiate. And she's bringing up this stuff around the path. Now, normally I'd get annoyed and I'd just be like, all right, here we go again. But this time I said, what is the frequency there that she's actually pointing out? So I dug in while she's talking, digging in. And this takes some mental effort, but dig in and say, what is the frequency? And so the pain, as I was going into her pain, I noticed it's because she felt that she was unfairly treated. Okay, if she was unfairly treated, what is she missing then? Fairness and justice. Well, that's something that she values, that she hasn't received yet. And her trauma self, right? That's a conscious version of her who didn't go away, who's pounding at the walls of her consciousness saying, I didn't get fairly treated. I didn't get justice over and over again because, well, she's still not getting it.
Right.
That version of her didn't go anywhere. So I drew that out. I said, you know, I realize that you're upset about this because you value justice and fairness so much. You see, what I did is I took her out of the past and I named what the need is in the moment. I didn't say you valued. I said you, your soul values fairness and justice. That's all. I didn't add any buts or ands. I presented a different frequency. A soul acknowledging another soul's value for justice in that moment. And suddenly her eyes got really big and she took a big deep breath. You're right, I do. Suddenly we're in the moment. There's no more talk about the past. There's no more fretting about the future. We're just in the moment, valuing fairness and justice. And it was one of the nicest conversations I've ever had with her.
Oh, and she probably felt, oh, finally, she gets me. Finally, I'm being heard. I'm being seen.
Exactly. And that's that connection that all of us want. When someone says, I can't feel connected. I'm not jiving with the people that I want to connect to. I'm imagining or expecting these very certain kinds of people that are going to be like me, that I get to connect to. But my friends, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. They didn't go anywhere. There's souls everywhere around you who want to be connected to. And you can do that because you're aware that you're a soul first.
Yeah.
That's what being awake in that moment is and radiating that love. So many of you are what I call harmonizers. Harmonizers have it rough. Because you're noticing all the flaws around you all the time. You're the type of folks that I want to come into my house and point out when things are wonky energetically. Because you're going to notice it right off the bat. Now, harmonizers like to do and say things to fix the problem. They really like to do something about it. But sometimes you can't do or say something physically to fix the problem. And that's what drives harmonizers crazy. And so how do you fix that craziness of saying there's nothing I can do or say right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's that trick. All right, what's the energetic here? What's the frequency here? Can I name it? Sometimes naming frequency is a challenge, but this is something that your brain is capable of doing. So trust your brain. People say things like, well, my third eye's shut down and I don't know if I'm really seeing anything. That's a negative program, most likely. 99% of the time, your third eye's fine. It's the program that you can't trust what you're perceiving that is actually blocking you. And the same goes with this part too. trust that your heart and your gut know what the frequency is and what its opposite or nurturing frequency is. So a good example, my neighbor is in denial. We'll just say it that way. He's in denial. His dog killed my cat, and it was this huge drama fest, and he refuses to actually speak with us in person. So, and he's like right there. Instead, he went passive aggressive and he put up a do not trespass sign facing our house, not the road, facing our house.
Right.
As sort of like a energetic, I hate you, stay the hell away from me kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So here's my husband and he's reacting to this sign. And he's really feeling the frequency of the I hate you, don't even come near me energy. He's feeling it. And so his normal reaction is to be in the human physical experience and say, well, I'm going to get a sign. I'm going to get a sign that says, be a good neighbor.
And right.
And face it to his house. And I'm like, this is how feuds started during the Civil War. Mm-hmm. we live in Kentucky. Have we learned nothing? And I said, look, notice that. Notice that you're feeling the frequency. And my husband's name is Drew. Notice that you're feeling the frequency, Drew. What is the frequency? What is it? Name it. What's the feeling? And he's like, well, because that forces him to drop into his heart. Mm-hmm. Your heart's really large, so it feels stuff first before your brain even reacts. And so I said, you know, don't let your brain be the one ruling the reaction. Just feel what your heart's feeling. He's like, yeah, okay, it's that passive-aggressive energy, it's angry. And I said, yeah, and if you keep following it, you're going to find that he learned how to be like that. And he learned how to be like that because that's how he's been treated.
Yeah.
And his traumatized selves are the ones reacting. And maybe they're 5 years old, not 40 years old. Maybe they're little kids, because that's the kind of, you know, reactive stuff that traumatized children might do, but here's a grown man and he's functioning from his most traumatized self. Mm. So I said, all right, but you can't do anything about his trauma. However, what's the opposite energy? What's the opposite energy? How are you going to cancel out the vibe that you're feeling in your body? You're going to notice it and you're going to say, all right, well, I'm going to radiate peace, just peace. Make it simple. Radiate peace. Mm-hmm. Radiate peace and forgiveness. And then took a big breath, right? Your body wants to breathe these things because it helps you embody what you're working with. So that's why my mother-in-law would take a deep breath when I acknowledged her soul's need for peace, for justice and fairness. Or all of us will note, you should notice that too. When you point things out and you stand in witness of someone's soul, first and foremost, you'll notice that that acknowledgement gives them a chance to be out of their mind, and then their body will connect. Mm. That's connection going on. So here, I'm in a state of peace because I'm aware of this, but my husband wasn't, so he's finally aware of it, and now he's radiating this peace. Well, just the other day, our other cat was missing for like 2 days. Now, on a farm, cats will have their like 2 day long naps, I guess. And then they'll scare everybody and then they'll show up like, what do you mean? I've been here the whole time. They'll have some crazy hiding place. Well, so we were worried because, again, our other cat had been missing for 2 days when we found him dead. So I looked at my husband and I said, if for some crazy reason our cat is dead, and then he didn't even let me finish. He said, I'm not going to react like that, Elizabeth. And he took that deep breath. Mm-hmm. Because he was functioning from a level of peace at this point. And because he had reacted very badly.
Right.
And threw a whole bunch of negative, crazy energy over to the neighbor's house. No wonder the neighbor put a sign up. That was his way of saying, dude, stop throwing your negative vibes my way or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm not going to do it. Even if he's dead, I don't feel that way now. Mm-hmm. And that is measurable change within a matter of a week, because he reacted so badly to the loss of our pet. And then all this learning happened. And then he realized, oh, I'm letting this vibe bother me. How can I dissolve it? I'm going to be in peace. And then he remained that way. He didn't let any of the bitterness continue to hang out in his field as big boulders and then build up into grudges and judgment that would not go away.
Right.
It was totally opposite of that. That's a measurable change.
Definitely.
And that's something that, we all want measurable change.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know this actually affects the rest of humanity? Well, that's the cool part about leaving the body, is that the soul gets to see all of the remnants of time that you experienced as a soul in that body, and you'll get to see how your light changed the world, how your blessings changed the whole world, how they created gigantic butterfly effects across the whole planet and even beyond into the galaxy, into the universe. That's the cool part about being an immortal soul, is that when you're done with this physical experience, you get to see all of that. So be positive about the fact that you'll be able to know all of that. Some people can see it already,
mm-hmm.
and I'm one of those people. When I see someone make a shift in a session, I watch it ripple out to the rest of the planet and beyond. And it's such a great, grand pleasure to be able to be in that spiritual gift, that I'm able to witness that and then acknowledge it and help someone feel validated that you just made a massive shift that will be a planetary one. You see, we imagine that we're just these single people who can't make a difference, when in fact, culture and society is made of individuals. It only takes one person in maybe 200 to continue to radiate such massive amounts of light and different frequencies. That these are very literal frequencies. Emotions are frequencies. Different frequencies that will help bring balance to our realities. And then that continues to ripple out and affect people for a very long time. Many, many years later, after helping someone make a shift that might have been small to someone on the outside, but on the inside of that person, it was huge. Many years later, I'll receive emails saying, my whole life's changed because of that one event.
Mm.
Now my whole trajectory is different. Now my connections are different. Now my life is different.
Right. Yeah.
And they watched that measurable change occur. Now, did I do that? No, no, no. My job's to empower you. My job's to make it so you don't need me. Not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
My job's to just help you to be acknowledged, because as a seer, I'm like a mirror. I'm a really great mirror with no judgments, and being able to show you what the present reality is that you're in, what things you can do, what mindset changes you can have, so that the connections can happen. And let me give you another example how this is actually a measurable thing. So I like to talk about my first date with my husband, because it was probably the weirdest date I've ever been on. And at this point, this was 7 years ago, and I had been working diligently on my radiating light more. And I warned him when we were in the car, we're going to go to this little bar in Montana. That's where we met. And I said, look, there's going to be people that will walk up to me, complete strangers, that will walk up to me. They're going to want to either touch me, they're going to ask to touch my hand, they're going to ask to hug me, or they want to ask questions. And I said, just let me handle it. Not 10 minutes into our date, this young woman comes up to me crying and literally says, "Can I just touch your hand?" And my my date standing there like, "What?
What?"
Like, okay, I thought this was like a weird thing, but it's real. Here it is. And I stood up and I said, "Come here." And I gave her a big hug and I held her and I radiated light through her, right, reconnecting her to her soul. And she said, "I'm so sorry to bother you, but I could not help myself. I don't even know why, but I wanted to come over and just touch you." And I said, "Well, I know why. It's because you want to be part of and connected to that light again." And good for you. You moved through your fear and you asked a complete stranger anyway to be connected to it. That's how much you want it. And I just showed her, "You've always been connected to it. Let me help you reconnect again to your soul. That's what you're craving." Gave her that connection in that moment. And she felt so relieved. And you could feel her and watch her again, that breathing. "Okay, good. Oh, I'm connected again." That's what you're doing when you go out there and you're remaining in a state, a witness state, the soul, noticing other souls. This is a mindset that doesn't go away. You live it. You become it. People notice that light and they want some of that light. And again, later in the date, had a guy walk up to me and ask me, "Can I ask you some questions? I don't know why, but I feel like you're the one to give me answers." I can't tell you how many times this happens.
You're like, okay.
Where I go.
Right.
And this is why. And that's the connection we're craving. They want it so bad that they'll even come up to a perfect stranger because that's how deep their soul wants it. And same with all of us. It's no different. But you're the one giving it to the people around you, the people, places, and things around you. Don't feel like you have to remain in suffering and isolation. It's up to you to make those connections happen by being someone that can be connected to, that your soul can be connected to other souls through that. By remaining in the soul state, I'm a soul having an Elizabeth experience. And that mindset never shifting as you wander through your reality that's very physical. But that's an illusion. That's only one of 12 layers of our reality.
Right.
Or more, right. Or many more, you know.
Yeah.
The one thing you got to know about dimensions is there aren't any. And that they didn't go anywhere. But we compartmentalize dimensions because it's easy to say, well, that color is red and that color is green. Well, it's the same idea. When none of those matter, they're all just part of the same whole oneness piece here.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is when we say, well, I want to feel connected. Well, that's your body and your ego suffering and saying, I don't feel connected. The soul says, I am connection. I never stopped being connection. I am connection. I am all that light. So those are the pieces I really wanted to share, Laura, about what it's going to take for all of us to feel connected again, to help our friends and family get out of the suffering cycles, especially the chit-chat and the past stuff, to find the frequency, name it, and then offer the other side of the frequency. Offer the other side of it. Just radiate it. That's it. Keep it simple.
And you make it sound so simple and so easy. Like, we can all do it.
We can, and it just takes practice, friends. That's all. We're not learning how to play a new instrument here. You've been in the same instrument the whole time, your body. We're not learning how to play a new instrument. This is your instrument.
Yeah. Wow. That was, you know, so many powerful statements, so many powerful concepts, and I love the stories. So I wanted to ask you, so what happened to your cat, number one?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, he was fine. He had a new hiding place we didn't know about, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good.
And so even if he wasn't fine, it still would have been fine.
And what's good is that, you know, when you make that mindset shift, and even, you know, as you were, even at the beginning of the call, when you were talking about, you know, remembering that you're a soul, you know, having this physical experience, I am a soul. I'm not the body. I'm not the emotions. I'm a soul, right? And recognizing the other person in front of you as a soul. I feel like, you know, when I was doing this, you know, because I was doing this while we were talking, right? And so that whole time I had this big goofy grin on my face, and I was just like totally just being my soul, me, the soul, yeah. You know, and it was such a peaceful state. But in that state, it's like there's freedom as well.
There's freedom.
Right, there's freedom, there is that peace, and there was actually more ease than trying to be the personality, be the identity, Alara.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I want to name exactly what we're free from when we do this.
Yeah.
Because it's very specific. There's these five big, huge holy cow programs. I call them the holy cow programs. Fields of limitation. They're real fields of energy that are programmed into human consciousness. And at the beginning of the subjugation of humankind, maybe one of these days we'll do like a whole talk about actual human history.
That'll be
a whole other show.
Yeah.
But the five fields of limitation are very particular programs. And the first one that you just freed yourself from is the field of limitation that I call false forgetting. Mm-hmm. That we somehow were meant to forget who we really are. And that's part of our suffering, that we signed up for that. That's not true at all. That's not true. We did not sign up for that. That's lies to make us accept this subjugation that we're in. And I found a way out of the jail.
Right.
I've, you know, suffered a lot. And through that suffering, I found a way out of the jail. And I found a field of limitlessness where I can remember who I really am and have access to that soul. Does that mean that I remember every single past life or experience? No, not exactly. But I trust my soul will bring it up if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. And then there's these four other fields of limitation. And I'll just name them quickly. Field of false value, that everything has a particular value to it. That's a monetary value or some other kind of value. None of that's real. That's a false limitation. Everything has infinite value because it's all part of Source God.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the field of limitation around time. We're taught that we need to make sure and worry about the past so that it won't happen again, and worry about the future all the time, and we leak a massive amount of energy. But where exactly does all the action happen? That's the great question. How do you remain in the present? Here's a quick tip. Ask your brain, when you find yourself worrying about the future or the past, ask your brain, hey brain, what can I do right this moment to help me heal my past? What can I do right this moment to cultivate the future I want right now, right this minute? And your brain's really clever because it's going to come up with a whole bunch of things for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that keeps you in the actionable present, which is that a state of limitlessness. There's no limit to how much you can get done in the moment. That's where all the power is. Now, then we have the field of the false use of energy. We're taught to just use energy mindlessly, like scarf down your food so you can go get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if we reconnect to the fact that all that incredible amount of people, places, things, and energy, how that all ended up coming to, for example, your plates, how did all that food get there? Next time you sit down to a meal, everybody, or even a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I want you to imagine all the people, places, things, and plants that were involved in getting you that cup of coffee or that meal. And as you're doing it, as you're consuming it, radiate gratitude. Radiate that gratitude. That is a limitless way, a mindful way of using energy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we're not trained to do at all. And then we have, of course, the fear of death. We free ourselves from the fear of death by choosing to be an immortal soul first. And then there's nothing to fear. We're the only animals on this planet that fear death the way we do. We're obsessed with it. We have multi-billion dollar industries around making sure you won't die. When, in fact, death is incredibly precious, the law of destruction makes sure that all energy and all material is recycled back into reality. That is proof that this universe loves you. The universe loves you by making sure that nothing in your reality ever is wasted, ever. So we can celebrate destruction. Destruction is constantly happening within you.
Mm-hmm.
And free yourself of the fear of it by recognizing that it's keeping you alive. 100 million cells die every day. Cancer cells are afraid of dying. Cancer cells don't want to die. They literally embody the fear of death, this particular program. And they do everything to hide from your immune system. And so they're terrified. They don't want to die. That's cancer, the fear of death right there. It's a very particular frequency, very powerful frequency. But that subjugates humanity. It makes us constantly leak energy into that, worrying about when we're going to die and how. When, you know, none of my animals or even my little children are thinking that way, because they're not being programmed to live in the fear of death constantly. So when we say we have a death-based culture, yeah, we do, because a good slave is afraid of death. But you have an immortal soul, that's who you really are. So we freed ourselves by just saying that, I'm a soul first. We free ourselves. It's one of those ways of freeing yourself from those particular fields of limitation that are subjugating us currently. And that's one of our jobs here, is to help undo that damage.
Awesome. Thank you. And, you know, and those five holy cow fears are so prevalent in society, right? So prevalent in the collective, you know. I know I don't have that fear of death. It's like, it's for me.
Oh, I don't anymore.
It's
no, I don't.
Thing.
Anymore.
It's a natural thing. It's, you know, we are dying and being reborn every minute, you know. Every minute, if you really look at energy and so on, where it's being destroyed and recreated every single minute. So it's like, and when we die, we just come back anyways. You know, like we have that choice to come back again here or somewhere else. So it's like we don't die; just the body dies. That's it. The soul does not die.
No, because it's of source.
Yeah, and source, you can't destroy source.
Everything.
You can't. Source doesn't die.
No.
But it's more about, you know, when the suffering that some people experience when they're dying, you know?
Yeah, and that's actually really important, because pain is actually a gateway. Pain is energy. Pain can't hurt you. You know, it might sound like I'm speaking very nonchalantly about pain, but I want everyone to know that I've suffered incredible deep PTSD. I'm getting real and raw. Deep PTSD, tried to commit suicide more than once. I used to cut myself a lot. I was an alcoholic. I've got Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So right this moment, I'm actually at a 5 pain. And that's on a good day. It's a rare connective tissue disease. It's incredibly painful. So all the different mental, emotional, and physical types of pain are something I'm familiar with. Getting close to death, nearly bleeding to death after a surgery. These kinds of things have occurred to me. And why? Well, I needed these experiences so that I could find the other side, so I could traverse consciousness through them in order to share with you that pain is incredibly powerful and useful. And that pain can clarify your mind. It can make it really, really clear how to remain in the present all the time. Eventually, if you follow the pain and you go down into it, you may find certain aspects of resistance, certain aspects of expectations or fear that are important for you to process, to emotionally fully welcome, so that you're not in resistance to them anymore. Furthermore, pain is pure energy. So I've learned over all these years and these painful experiences to actually turn my physical pain, which is immense, into light. So now I actually don't mind being in pain. And does that mean that everybody's going to get to that point and that they should? No, this is my personal experience on it. But I've actually learned not to avoid it, nor be upset about it, or have any reaction to it at all, but to use it for what it is, that it can turn into pure energy. So I'm continuing to be a light generator all the time in pain. Not in happiness and peace and joy. I can do that too. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's by doing it when it's horrible. By doing it when I'm emotionally, mentally, physically hurting all the time. By doing it that way, that I've become incredibly powerful. My field is expansive. Power is light. Light is power. I'm just becoming lighter. I'm dissolving more into source. Mm-hmm. I'm fulfilling the job that we're here to do, which is to remember that we are of source God, that we're part of source God, and while so, we're in these bodies, while we're suffering.
And so while we're having these sometimes painful, emotional, spiritual, mental, physical, painful experiences, it's all so that we can remember that we are source.
It's also you can remember it, and then you can end up advancing in ways you never imagined. I would have never imagined that my physical pain could turn into pure light. A few years ago, I would have been like, are you nuts? Like, this sucks. I came up with every single karmic reason I could of why I was in pain.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
I dug down deep into it, it was simply so I could learn how to make it something beyond just pain. Does it continue to be painful? Is it fun? No, that's not the point. The point is that it's something now that I've turned into a whole nother way of being on my own because I had to. And there's nothing more powerful than serious, massive change that has to happen right smack in front of you to make you evolve real quick. humans, we're slow to evolve until shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it's quick and fast.
Yes. Yeah, then it's quick and fast.
Exactly. Wow, I don't even know where we're going at the moment. You know, it's like we always talk about so many different things, you know, and I love it because these are the types of conversations that we all need to have to remind us of who we truly are, right? To get past
Absolutely.
The drama and the trauma, to get past our stories, to get past, you know, some of our fears even, right? And some of our habits. A lot of the stuff that we do is just a habit. We've been, you know, some of the things have been programmed into us. Some we program by doing it over and over again, right?
Well, why don't we address some questions that are up on our board here?
Awesome. Yeah, so if you have a question, you can raise your hand or you can type it into the chat. And we'll see what
we have a really clear question showing up towards the bottom here from our friend Reverend Randy. And pointing out the, you know, the elephants in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Reverend Randy points out that, sorry, there's a little bug in front of me. Go away, bug. So Reverend Randy says, gaslighting narcissistic sociopaths are popular. So I developed some ways to speak that
Like, what if no one needs to be wrong?
Speak to that. What if no one needs to be wrong? What if no one needs to be to blame? Now, from this place, what have we got left to be? Yeah, so here's the deal. I agree. Here we have a lot of different sociopathic narcissism is basically another way that this continued very, very real programming of the human race has continued to uplift the sociopathic, to uplift the narcissistic, based on particular beliefs that are what come from that death culture, right? And it's that death culture that says you need to care only about you, only about you. Well, the antidote to that, the antidote to the narcissism and the sociopathy is that simple trick. I am a soul. I'm an immortal soul, and so are they. So let me give you an example. Had an interesting session recently where someone who's not at all familiar with doing readings with me came onto a call, and I was helping them out, and they said, what about the bully, this narcissistic bully that is torturing my daughter? I feel so angry. I'm almost obsessed with the pain that they're causing my daughter. And I said, all right, stand in your soul witness. You're a soul. You're an immortal soul. So are they. What's really happening here? Is that soul the one who's committing the problems? Is that soul the one who's narcissistic and sociopathic? No. No, they're not. It's the body and, of course, the spiritual oppression that's going on. This is a real thing, talking about elephants in the room. Spiritual oppression is a real thing. It's a measurable thing. There are lots of beings on this earth that have agendas, and a lot of them don't have good ones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't want us to be free because they eat the painful energy that comes off of us. And this was an agreement that they made a long time ago. And that's part of our history of subjugation we can get into some other time. But I said, really look at them. Look at that person. And she said, you're right. Their soul isn't the one who's functioning that way. Their ego, the negative things they've learned, the narcissism and the sociopathy, which then probably has rewired their brain. Mm-hmm. So why can you scan someone's brain and see that they're a sociopath or a psychopath? Because energy rewires the brain. So what kind of energy are we talking about? Is it coming from their soul? No.
No.
It's coming from oppression. From oppression. And I said, you don't need to obsess over that person causing your daughter pain. You ought to then pity or at least feel sad for their soul. Because their soul is not aware that they're a soul anymore. They're what we say, not awake. They're not aware or awake of what's really going on. That the voices in their head are not theirs. And she said, oh my gosh, I really feel that. Now I actually just feel open. Now I feel sad for them. And I said, good, now radiate that peace. Radiate healing. Radiate some other quality that you wish for their soul. Wish for their soul what is really required for this change to occur. What's happening between your daughter and them? They're trying to remember who they are. And it's sometimes really rough and nasty. And it's a messy place here, Earth is, a very messy place. And that oppression is, that's their souls trying to function, how to figure out, can they remember who they really are? It changed her viewpoint so she didn't have to suffer in that place of obsession and anger around that person who she had decided was the perpetrator. And I showed her, no, their soul is not perpetrating this painful activity. it's the oppression that's going on. And they probably learned it and they might have picked it up. It might be genetically a genetic bondage. They inherited it perhaps. Oh my, what a mess. And suddenly the whole scenario changes. Now I believe and have seen many, many measurable results with that mindset shift. Now she's radiating something different. And I said, you don't have to feed the beast anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't feed that beast all of your obsession and anger. That's exactly what it wants. It's got a hook in you. Excellent. It's all happy now. Don't feed the beast. Call out the light.
Awesome.
The thing the dark forgot is all the pure light. It's all made of light. It's all made of source.
Mm-hmm.
And when you call that out, that is something that can't be denied. So I expect her situation to change a lot, because she's going to have completely unhooked herself from that,
mm-hmm.
and called out the soul within that person and her daughter and herself. And if she only did it for herself, that would already be a massive energetic change to the whole reality of her life.
Absolutely.
So Anne is asking, how do you know when to leave an unhealthy relationship and when to stay and radiate unconditional love? Or do you try to radiate love and then the solution will be more clear? Well, kind of both, but you need to ask your heart and your gut, Anne. You need to ask your heart and gut, and here's why. Your brain is going to come up with lots of pros and cons about, you know, whether you should leave or not. Obviously, I've been through this because I stayed for 4 years in a relationship with someone who was possessed. And, you know, occasionally I'd turn and I'd be speaking to them and it wasn't them. Wasn't them anymore. That's scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I did leave. I left for a lot of reasons, but mainly because, first off, no changes were occurring. No matter how much work I did on me, there was too much resistance from that oppressive situation. I would draw out his soul, and yet that wouldn't create the shift that needed to happen because he needed to recognize his soul, and he was refusing. And that's okay. That's okay. Now, he had his own journey to learn from, and it was painful, but he ended up, now he's free. He ended up dying because of what happened to him, and it was very sad. Now he's free. Now he can be free. He can be back into oneness, and that's okay in that situation. But what about the people who, you know, we have long marriages with these folks sometimes. And as we're becoming more awake, they're becoming more annoyed.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. But listen, if someone's physically abusing you, if someone's gaslighting you, like Reverend Randy mentioned, gaslighting. Gaslighting's when someone does something or says something, when you react to it, they tell you that that's not real.
Mm.
And that's a clue you got to get out of there. How do you know when to get out? Let your brain do its pros and cons thing. Set that aside. Thank you, brain. Thank you, mind. I appreciate that help. Then you drop into your heart. What does your heart say? Should I stay in this relationship? What happens with your heart? Does it contract and say, no? We've been doing this for years without any results. I've had way too much experiences retained in my heart to say, nope, not going to stay. You know, in my case, with my relationship, I wasn't being abused. And if I had been, it would have been cut off real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because my heart would have been like, what are you doing? You're doing this again? We already learned this lesson. So the heart is the seat of true body memory. Trust your heart. Maybe your heart says, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if we stay or not. Go down to your gut. Your gut is where your survival and harmony with the earth is. You're not talking to your intestines. You're talking to the bacteria in your body, which actually make up the bulk of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And those bacteria are very, very smart. And they're going to help you survive. So if that situation is no longer a situation that's going to help you survive anymore, then your gut's going to tell you, it's going to contract and say, no, you got to get out of here. If you have a gut feeling, you got to get out of there. Make it happen. because Source is going to make sure that the rest will unfold. If you're willing to keep trying to connect soul to soul with people around you, you'll be able to shift. And this is coming from someone who left that relationship I'm talking about, lost everything I owned, ended up homeless with a child. I ended up homeless with a child, and I didn't give up. And I said, whatever door is going to open, I'm going to take it. It opened the one door I didn't want to open, was to go live with my parents as an adult.
Of course.
And leave my son with his father so he could go to school where he wanted to go to school. But because I was willing to go in and process those 4 years of agony and pain, that I did not hold a grudge, I forgave and I moved through. I called out from my soul to Source and to the souls of the people who I was dealing with. I called out from the soul level and I surrendered. I surrendered. I met my husband. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have met him if I hadn't been willing to go all out and to lose everything, to completely go into nothing and give it all up and be gone, be done. Mm-hmm. Be just Elizabeth, the soul having an Elizabeth experience, just that, just surrendering to it, processing all my pain. And it was very painful. It took me a long time to fully shift. But within that same year, I had shift, you know, it took me months to heal. Within that shift, I fully surrendered, and then I met my husband. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, a measurable example of how this part of abusive relationships, sometimes can be really amazing jumping points for you. Be willing to go all out and give it all up and surrender so you can get to where Source really needs you. Like,
absolutely.
And I point this out too to Alara, to people who have a hard time where they're living too. Maybe you're in a town that's just horrible. Hey, I live in a dry county in the middle of Kentucky, and in probably a teeny little town out in the middle of nowhere. Why am I here? Like, I've asked myself this question a lot, but the truth is that my soul had a lot to learn by being here. I learned that I had a bunch of judgments about the people who live out here and that none of them were real. I learned about how to fully enjoy being in myself and never be bored. Being the oldest of 7 kids, being isolated, being someone who loves human beings and people, I mean, love people, love having potlucks and community and all of that. And I'm excellent at building that. Going to a place where that's incredibly hard, nearly impossible, especially because I can't drive because I'm way too psychic to drive. That's a thing. But being out here, you know, learning how to be in complete and total presence and enjoyment of just being wherever I'm at, being with the earth in this place, in a different, I mean, I can't tell you how many countless things I've learned from this wild experience being somewhere I never in a million years would have even let you pay me to live here. And here I am. And I'm actually much, much better for it. Use wherever you're at to your advantage. So here's the trick. Sorry, I'm going to have to turn my phone off. My apologies.
No worries.
So here's the big trick about it. You know, we say, well, I can't make any friends here. Like, it's way too hard. This culture sucks. Or wherever I'm at, it's too much of a challenge, or maybe way too many old memories or not enough connections. Mm-hmm. That's the trick, though. It's that shift into being a soul first that's going to draw all these other souls to you because they want to be part of it. They want to be part of it so much. Be the soul first, and you'll never be bored. You'll never be lonely. You'll never feel disconnected. You'll never remain in annoyance that people are chit-chatting about the weather in the past. you'll be able to draw out the very best in the people around you, and they're going to want to be around you. And I've made some amazing, very interesting friends here because I was willing to do that and not compress my field to make other people comfortable. Use the place you're in to your advantage. There might be a reason why you're there. So let's take some more questions here.
So there's a question from Destiny. So she says, how do we get rid of something that did not originate with us, like an ancestral spirit? It does not want to budge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about those oppressive spirits that we might have inherited or not. You know, first off, you want to know, did this energetic come in at some point later in my life? That's a clue then that you didn't inherit it. So there might have been something that you did, knowingly or unknowingly, that opened the door for them. And it can be a whole myriad of things. Like for myself, listening to really dark music a lot as a teenager opened up big doors in my field. Because I'd listen to really, really dark music, and because I was depressed, right? So I thought I was expressing myself through the music, but in fact, the things that we welcome into our field, movies, shows, music, that's actually going to have a dramatic effect on your field, and those act as doorways into your field. So there's that, doing stuff like I would remain drunk a whole lot when I was in my early 20s because I was escaping my pain, physical and emotional. Mm-hmm. And that, there's a reason why they call it spirits. You know, it's because it keeps a big door open energetically for stuff to attach to you. And so then you're noticing that maybe it's been with you the whole time, then that's a clue that that was something you inherited. So then there's this being or a demonic entity who's in your field that someone way down the line, maybe great, 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 great grandpa was a drunk, and this thing was attached to him perhaps. And then any progeny he had after that oppression came in would have inherited it. And so that's a clue. How does it feel to be oppressed exactly? You're going to hear stuff in your head that seems to come out of nowhere that is really brutal stuff, or it pets your ego. The latter is important, and I had to learn that the hard way. Even being an awake person, I totally fell for the ego petting. And I learned brutally what that means when you allow something like that into your field. So then you're noticing this, that hey, I have all these voices or these thoughts in my head that don't really feel like they're from my soul. You feel like they're not there to support me or nurture me. And how do you know they're not just negative programs? Because they're going to come in a lot. Because what that entity wants, and remember, this thing can't feel anything. It doesn't hate you. It doesn't like you. There's nothing like that with what's going on. We're talking about the angelic realms here. You know, angels have a different agenda than the demonic do. So the demonic, they're just feeding off of any negative energy that's coming off of you. So maybe they say something in your head like, wow, you're so ugly. Well, then you'll react to that and it'll be painful. And it's just gobbling it up. delicious. So these beings, they learned how to do this. They learned how to push the exact right buttons to make us feed them an immense amount of powerful energy. Don't forget, you know, the human experience is a coveted experience, but it's also an incredibly generative experience. We generate a lot of energy through our emotional bodies. We generate a lot of energy in the physical form. Hmm. So then you'll notice too, like, you'll feel oppressed. It feels heavy. It feels like stuff is on you and piling down and piling down. It feels dense. It feels dark. It feels creepy. And this stuff will do whatever it can to make you feel fear and make you feel pain so that you'll just keep feeding it. So first thing to notice is I'm not going to feed the beast anymore. Every time I hear anything weird or creepy in my head, I'm going to acknowledge from the soul level, hey, you're not welcome here. I'm the soul in charge, and you're going to stand in your power. And this is where righteous anger is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Stand in your power and get mad. I'm not a slave. I'm an immortal soul. I'm living in this body, and this is my experience. And you'll shift it out of the way. You must acknowledge it from the soul level. Hey, you're not welcome in here. You're not welcome in my mind, my field, my body, my reality at this moment. That's going to separate your mind from the button pushing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to stand in unconditional love. What are you really loving? You're not loving the demon. You're loving the light that made it. You're loving the source light that made that demonic entity. It didn't originally start out as a demon. Every demon started out as an angel. Angels are beings that radiate light, not consume. So you're calling it out. You're saying, you're made of light just like me. And you can't deny it. Now that you know, you're in remembrance. And you're calling it out. Oh boy, those things can't stand that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stand it. They hate that unconditional love because it dissolves them. It dissolves density. It calls them out on what they're really doing and the choices they made as a being. And what happens when you shake it up with light? All that density dissolves. It can't remain. It gets bleached out. So they either dissolve in it or they hightail it. So I've learned this, again, through years of experience, chopping demon heads off. I used to go into full-blown battle mode and destroy these beings, destroy them. And I spent a lot of energy and time doing that. And I felt very powerful and, really self-righteous. There's nothing more dangerous than self-righteous arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at one point, I came into someone's field and I saw, of course, they had an inherited entity. And I saw this inherited entity and it knew me. It recognized me. And that was weird. And so this thing actually asked for mercy. And it said, basically, long story short, hey, I'm pretty sure you're going to kill me, and I'm scared. And it hurt me so much. My gut just felt so awful. What am I doing? I'm just destroying all these beings, these incredible beings that were once angels, and I felt awful about it. And suddenly I realized, oh, man, I've got blood on my hands. I gave this being mercy. And it completely changed. And I asked it after it had changed, because you don't want to have direct conversations with demonic entities. You want to command them out. You make commands. You don't make demands. You make commands.
Right, yeah.
I asked it afterwards, how many people are freed from bondage now that you have decided to be done with what you're doing, what you had been doing for so long? And this being said, currently, 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a choice that the person who I was working for on their behalf and myself, we made this choice together. It felt good in her heart and gut and from the soul level to have mercy. And by having mercy and unconditional love, we changed the entire scenario. And then, through that, we freed 100,000 people.
Mm.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And this works.
So Destiny, I would say definitely try that, do that. If you have any more questions about that, let us know,
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, that leads to kind of talk a little bit about an inherited trauma. you know, how do you know you have inherited trauma? Well, first off, you should assume you do. Mm. We all do. Because the DNA has a lot of information written in it. And most of that info is not even your experience. It's all the 500,000 years of other humans having experiences, and most of that being really rough. And so how do you clean up the DNA? How do you clean up that trauma? It's like inheriting a house full of garbage bags, basically, right, Alara?
Yeah, not fun, but no. we have to clean it up.
We do, and that's why you're here. That's why all of us are here. It's one of the many reasons why we're here in these human bodies, to clean up the human DNA and get it back to its full capacity again, full capacity for light. It's like a garden, right? So your DNA is this garden, and it's full of incredible amounts of weeds, 500,000 years of weeds. And how do you choose which one to start with? How do you even begin? Well, first off, you know, a lot of humans have had a lot of the same kind of suffering. Mm-hmm. That's why those five fields of limitation are really good measurable examples of common suffering that we can say across the board all humans have had. Now, that's key. So you're going to think about, well, what are some of the most common forms of suffering? Okay, grief. Lots of different kinds of grief. Maybe you might name off the different kinds of grief. Grief by losing loved ones too early, or in ways that are really painful. Grief around being able to meet our needs and survive well enough. Grief around the traumatic programs we have as women and men, which can be very similar but also very different. Mm-hmm. Lots of different kinds of grief. Well, what you've done then is you've drawn out all these particular trash bags. And you couldn't see what was within them. You're just naming them, and then they're all going to get compiled there, ready to go. And so then you're naming off, well, addiction, lots of different kinds of addiction. What other kinds of suffering? Anger issues, sociopathic narcissism. What else? You know, you're naming them, and here's all these trash bags ready to go. They're getting prepared to go. Then you're going to blow your heart field up. You're going to welcome your lineages, mother and father's side, stepfather or stepmother's side, adoptive families, and anyone who you've had as mother and father figures to stand in your field to receive healing. And you're going to command those garbage bags out of there. You're the soul in charge of the body. So you're saying, all right, we're going to blast away a big layer of dark density so we can see what else is underneath. It's like DNA archaeology, one layer at a time. Mm-hmm. Very important to identify those layers because they tell you a lot about what's going on in your reality. And a lot faster, of course, to get rid of each layer than it did to get there. So it's not going to take you 500,000 years to move this junk. It's going to take you.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, thank goodness.
And this time you're not doing it with a toothbrush like a real archaeologist. You're doing it with a leaf blower. So so you've got your all your ancestry standing behind you in spirals because that packs them in nice and tight. And you're going to say, dear hearts, use your heart space. Your heart feels really powerful and your heart will do whatever you ask it to do. Dear heart, please shift. And then you're going to name your stuff. Any grief, any anger, any addiction, any trauma, any dark or dense energies out of my whole body and field and the bodies and fields of my ancestors' lineages and all who are standing with me now. Do this now. And you take a big deep breath. Now that breath, it tells the whole body that this new change is okay. And then you're going to immediately already, I see more light by doing that right now. But you'll actually have experiences where you're going to see light and color more vividly. That's one of the things that will happen to people as they shift big amount, massive amounts of junk out of their field and their DNA. So then you're going to replace it. You can't just move stuff and clear things without replacing it because of physics. Mm-hmm. So you're the one in charge of replacing it. And so then you'll name it off. Maybe it'll, if you have 10 things you got rid of, you're going to want to replace it with 10 things. It doesn't have to be complicated. Get your thesaurus out. Maybe it's 10 different ways of being happy. That's right. Okay. So then you'll say, dear heart, fill my whole body and field and the bodies and fields of all my ancestries and those standing with me with happiness, joy, peace, unconditional love, and mercy now. And then you'll welcome that in. A big breath. Now, this is a gift you can do every day for your lineage, for your body, for your experience, and it takes, what, took us about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Less than
Not
that.
Even.
Less than that.
Yeah.
If you're diligent about this, and you're also noticing whatever's coming up for you and your experience, that was just all the stuff you might have inherited. What about your experience? Well, I'm really angry at my neighbor for this thing or whatever, or this person that I had this tiff with this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, dear heart, shift any trauma, negative energies, negative emotions, and anger out of my whole body and field now. Dear heart, fill my whole body and field with unconditional love and peace now. Now you're the soul in charge. And now you're going to get the measurable results. I'm already seeing way more light now.
That's beautiful. It's so simple and so easy. I love it.
Well, you're just using your body machine the way it could be used.
Yeah.
The whole point, eventually, now you're an awake soul. You're awake that you are a soul. Now you're going to use your body. Your body's the cool part. You get to have access to all dimensions as a human in this body in ways that you couldn't when you were just a soul, when you were one source.
Yeah, I have like so much heat right now just pumping through my whole body system at the moment. The fan is not doing anything. It's like not helping one little bit, one little iota. I'm like sweating.
Yes, good. Well, and purging, clearing.
Yeah.
Letting energy move through, not resisting it. So here's a trick too for you, Alara. Dear heart, cause my whole body and spirit, mind, heart, and guts to stop resisting now. See how it moves through the body a lot more easily? Because your body listens to you. It wants you to feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Being in it. Yeah, so, and this goes for anything. Oh, I'm, you know, wow, my body's heating up. I feel really uncomfortable. That's usually a sign of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
My clue will be like, my stomach will go crazy and I'll be like, wow, I feel just horrible now. My stomach hurts and oh, I'm resisting something. That's my clue. Or I'll physically feel more pain. Oh, wow, I'm resisting something. And then when I release resistance, even if I don't know what it is I'm resisting, I'll release resistance and the pain down a few notches instantly. So use this with pain.
Definitely use that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, use this with pain. If you need to bring your pain down a notch, command it to be so. Dear heart, please inform my entire body to take this pain down one level now. And then breathe and do it again and again until you get it manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Until you can feel more conscious as a soul and then command it to turn into light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do every day to get through. But it works very well.
Because we are a soul working with this body, right? I don't know if the working term is the right thing, but we're working with the body. And so the body is supposed to listen to us, or?
Yes, it wants.
And we're supposed to listen to it.
No, it's the other way around. Now, listening. Yeah, you're going to listen to your body and your emotions. You're going to notice them. But that's not what your soul is necessarily creating or affecting. So yeah, you definitely want to listen to what's going on in the body, but what the body desires from you and what the body, what our bodies do is they basically try to get by without us, y'all. They try to get by without us because we're not remembering who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body then, well, it'll eat a whole bunch of food or it'll get addicted to stuff because it doesn't feel connected to that soul anymore. When someone says, I don't feel connected to people around me, that's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they're not connected to their soul,
yeah,
to who they are. When you're connected to that, you don't feel disconnected from the people around you anymore.
Yeah.
You don't feel alone anymore. It's an inside job. Now, the body's going to tell you about a lot of things. It's going to tell you about energy. It's going to tell you about trauma and reactions. It's going to tell you with its triggers. It's going to tell you physically what's going on and what's going to help you survive. That's why you want to talk to your brain, your heart, and your gut. They're your three minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very smart. They have a lot to share with you. If you listen to them and very systematically ask them separately the same questions and build up this skill, because it takes a little while to learn to speak to your three minds. Don't give up on this. Even if you feel like your heart and gut seem scrambled, don't give up asking questions and start with questions you know the answer to. Do I love my dog? Yes, of course I love my dog. Your heart's going to open up and say yes.
Yeah.
Dear gut, do I love my dog? And the gut's going to say, well, yeah, I mean, I guess we love the dog. I mean, it's not going to like help you survive more if you don't have the dog around. So maybe the gut's like, yeah, yeah. But the heart's like, yes. Well, then maybe you say, well, dear gut, do I love chocolates? And it's like, oh yeah, definitely. Maybe your reaction in your gut to loving your dog is going to be less powerful than your love of chocolate. Well, why?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. What? Why?
Why?
No, there's no way.
It doesn't always happen that way, but it's because of the differences between the three minds.
Right.
The brain mind is really good at pros, cons, and transactions. It's actually not good at memory. It's really poor at memory. The heart is good at memory. So all your full body experience comes through the heart. Well, of course I love my dog. I remember all the love I've shared with my dog. The gut is all about surviving in harmony with the earth. Not just surviving in harmony with the earth. Now, the gut's going to say, do we need the dog around to survive in harmony with the earth? Well, no, but we do love the dog. And that's been good. Okay, so then you'll get probably a less strong reaction, maybe, in your gut around that. But if you're dealing with, say, chocolate, your favorite food, that makes you feel really good and gives you an opening, a connection to the earth because it's a communion with the earth. Chocolate literally is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then your gut's going to say, yeah, that helps me survive in harmony with the earth more because then I feel more physically connected to the earth. Maybe more than when I'm around my dog.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say the dog keeps you really grounded and has helped you survive. Well, that beautiful soul in that dog is helping you and helping you survive in harmony with the earth, and the gut's going to have a more powerful reaction.
Yeah.
And say, well, yes, yes, I do love my dog. Or, you know, we ask obvious no questions. Dear heart, do I love to eat rocks? No, no, I don't. And if you ask your gut, it'll be a stronger reaction. No, please don't eat rocks.
Right.
But just practice. So I'm constantly doing this now, and I'm using my whole body all the time. We're always in our heads, Alara, and helping people get out of their head and get into their body.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the job. If we're going to talk about embodying multiple dimensions, which we're all already doing, you're already embodying all the dimensions.
Mm.
I mean, really, hear that. Everyone on this call, you're already doing it. That's what your body's good at. It's already doing it. They didn't go anywhere. The fifth dimension is you. You are the fifth dimension. That's the soul memory coming up. That's the soul being in charge of the body. Now the body wants you to give it commands. It wants you to tell it what to do. It wants you to be the leader of this experience as a soul, not as the body. The body is a machine. It's a very smart machine that wants to serve you. And it's got three functioning, very different, but very keen brains that want to help out. And when you practice using all three of them all the time, eventually it becomes a way of life. You have full body discernment. You can make very clear decisions about whether or not to stay in that relationship anymore, whether or not to speak your mind and let your field be large in a dramatic, perhaps painful situation, or let your field be large and not speak your mind. You'll know with your whole body, your brain, your heart, your gut, all your cells, whether or not that move in that moment is going to bring in more light and help everybody learn about love or not. Because that's the job. Good. Yeah. Does that make sense, Laura?
It does. Yes. Awesome. Thank you. I love those examples of, especially the chocolate and the dog, right? Definitely.
Don't mix the two.
No. So Ricky was asking just a little bit more about the inherited entity. She said, am I able to clear inherited entities from another?
No. The short answer. No, you can't. They have to be there first, willing and acknowledging what's going on and willing to do something about it. Every single person is having their own important, very important experience informing source about what is love and what is not love. Mm-hmm. So, source is feeling pain when you're feeling pain. When I'm angry, source is angry. When I'm happy, source is happy. That's the truth. Now, you're calling out the soul in that person saying, you are source. Do you want this to remain as it is? If that person says, no, I want help, then that's the first step. Then you're going to help them to see what's really going on. Are those thoughts really yours? Are they really coming from your soul? Start with the thoughts first. Anyone who's oppressed is having negative thoughts thrown their way, because that's one of the ways that the buttons get pushed and the hooks get pulled. Start with those and then have them practice imagining themselves as a soul, and then have them go through all the steps I talked about. Because the thing is over all these years of dealing with the demonic and all these entities and having gone in and said, I'll take care of it for you. I think I'm hilarious. But I just laugh at myself because of how painfully not helpful that was. And here I put so much effort into it. The fact is that usually that stuff would come right back round. It would be just something else that would take its place, because that person hadn't closed the door for themselves.
Right.
And done for it. That was me as a healer creating dependence through other people. Then those people were dependent on my help. Mm-hmm. And that's not the path here. Any of you who are healers, your job is to make sure nobody needs you. That's the job, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So by shifting into, all right, I'm going to radiate all this light and I'm going to teach people how to be empowered to shift this for themselves, then we're going to get real results, not dependency. Mm-hmm. And so that's the answer. That's the long answer. But you know what? What you can do is be the soul first and call them out. Call out the soul within. You're not really having all those crazy thoughts. Those aren't you. Point that out to them. Mm-hmm. That's not you. Your soul wouldn't say that to you. Who would say that to you? Something dark. Something that's trying to eat your pain. That's what. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Every single one of us are in oppression, whether you've got something attached to you physically spiritually, physically, or not. Because here we are in this field of oppression. I call it matrix jail. We're all in this slave system.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us who found a way out, but my job is not to stay out there and then leave all of you in the jail. My job's to be with my big old, you know, megaphone and my light shining on the path and saying, this is how I got out. If you want to come out to give this path, I know it works.
I did it. Yeah.
Come through this path. I know this one works. There's lots of paths out.
Mm-hmm.
But this one works. And maybe it'll work for you. Maybe it'll work for you. And so far, so good.
Awesome.
So far, many thousands of people it's worked for.
Awesome.
There's lots of other paths, like I said, out.
Yeah.
But that's what we're here to do. Once you're out, then your job is to turn right around and say, all right, guys, here's a path that's working. Let's shine the light on it and see where it goes. And let's keep going. So a good teacher then isn't going to go way far ahead and leave everybody behind.
Mm-hmm.
A good teacher is a scout, goes out to the edge and says, all right, I know what left turn we got to take up here.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm hanging out with you. I'm not going to compress my light to make you comfortable, but I'm here. I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep radiating. And that's what you can do for your friends, family, whomever, who might be oppressed. Most of the people around you are probably oppressed in mm-hmm. some way or form.
Whew, yes, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. We can all do that. We can all radiate our light. We can all remember that we are a soul. And when we're talking to somebody else, that they are a soul as well, when we're relating to them. Just that alone is going to make a huge shift. Just that alone. If you get nothing else from this call, from this show, that, remember that you are a soul and the person you're talking to is a soul as well, right? That's going to be huge. And radiate that light, radiate that peace, radiate that love, right? Unconditional love.
Especially when you get triggered.
Yeah.
So then you're like, ooh, what is this trigger? Oh, I'm really angry right now. All right, I welcome this anger. Okay, what's the other thing that I can radiate now that'll help dissolve the anger or the problem in front of me? Because it's always an equation. You know, suffering comes when there's a bunch of missing parts to your equation, and then it doesn't equal out to much.
Mm-hmm.
And so suffering ends when we say, all right, I've got control over how this equation's going to look in this moment, because that's where the action is. I'm going to add in some of this peace, love, and harmony, and we'll see what comes out the other end. Mm-hmm. Maybe it all adds up to zero, and then it's neutralized. Excellent. Or even better, it'll add up to a level of light mm-hmm. that wasn't there before.
Right. Yeah, I you know, just using it that way as an equation, I love that. You know, it makes it so simple and concrete, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's just like, yeah, I can definitely get that, you know. And yes, sometimes just getting to neutral is enough.
Getting to neutral is enough.
You know,
like what I did for my mother-in-law. I just helped her get to neutral in that moment so she could just be herself and be loved just for her and what her soul really valued in that moment. And we got to just be in this lovely, peaceful place together for that moment. And does that mean that she's going to be forever transformed? Well, Yes and no. It can be very subtle, but the fact that she was acknowledged in that way by me, it just happened to be me in that moment, it has changed her attitude towards me and towards her family a little bit, because then she's been acknowledged and that need was met, and so that part of herself that need wasn't getting met for so long isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
So I actually really, since then, haven't heard her bring up a lot of her own traumas as much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a measurable result.
Absolutely.
So keep doing it because it'll definitely keep working.
Yeah, exactly.
Noticing and calling her soul out.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. So I wanted to share really quickly, too, with everybody your special offer that you're offering so that people can continue to work with you even more. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. Those of you who are on the phone or else or other time, you can go to alara.at/show/Elizabeth8. And I'm just going to also screen share it here. So just give me 1 second so people can see it. All right. So this is Elizabeth's offer for this this season, which includes 2 group calls, 2 live group calls, a 1-year subscription for the monthly calls, 4 master classes that you'll have instant access to, as well as meditation music compilation. So Elizabeth, this is the Real Raw Relationships package. So do you want to just share a little bit about what is in the package?
Yes. Yes. So first and foremost, the group calls are very important because I prefer to do group calls at this point than one-on-ones. And part of it is because then you're listening to 5 other people. My max is always 6 people. You're listening to the 5 exact perfect people that you needed to hear talk about their problems that day and get the answers or the next step, whatever it might be for them. So as an oracle, then anything goes, by the way. People bring any question to the mirror so that they can see what the situation is, what the next step is. And that's what those readings are. So each person in that group call gets a 20-minute reading, and you get 2 of those calls to be with me on. And I've added a whole bunch more so that there's some new, more recent dates to be able to work with me. So you're not waiting for months and months, like if I was doing all one-on-ones.
Right, yeah.
So those group calls can be incredibly important and profound, because oftentimes I've heard people say, I'm so glad I got on the group call because I heard all these other things that were exactly right on the money for me too. Source puts the right people together. Mm. And then furthermore, I like getting your feedback for the people on the call. So I will ask you what's come through for this person during their reading. And that can be really special. I'm not the only wise person around, thank goodness. And so your wisdom, whatever comes through you, we value too. And everybody gets that feedback from not only me giving you the reading, but 5 other people who have something to share, even if it's just validation and saying, hey, I hear you, I'm with you, I feel ya. The second piece is a subscription. So anyone who joined my community, either through my website or anything that I do, gets welcomed to a monthly call. And so you get a full year subscription for that. And every month we meet at the end of the month and we do a big update on what's going on. I'm lucky I get to have my finger on the pulse of people and the pulse of humanity. Because I can see it, because I get to talk to people all over the world every day. And so with that, I bring up whatever's showing up. I help answer any general questions, not personal readings, but general questions that might be coming up. Any topics go. And then we build a pillar of light at the end. And a pillar of light is really fun to build together, because everyone gets to project their intents and their hopes and their dreams and their ideas about helping to heal the planet into a physical, spiritual structure wherever we're being guided to put it. So maybe it'll be on the border. Maybe it'll be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We've done lots of different pillars all over the world, and we'll continue to do them every month as a regular thing. And they just help continue to transmit the intentions we have for healing ourselves and the planet, which can be another boost, another help that we can all do. Then, of course, we have the 4 master classes. And so the ones that I chose for you are my very favorite, that have everything to do with relationships. So the first one is the power of time, the playground of time. I'm going to help you really understand this tricky thing about time. And remember, I told you that being able to be in the present moment is where all the action is, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay only in the 3D. So I'm going to show you how to use the Y part of the axis. Mm-hmm. So there's the X axis, leaking energy into the past or present, remaining in the center point, that zero point. Well, there's then the Y axis that you get new access to, and how do you use that? How do you use your presence, actionable presence, to then discover reality in the moment? That's the fun part. And then I also teach you how to actually help people stop leaking energy into the past and present. That means all of your relatives that you go visit on holidays.
Right.
How are you going to transform their discussions around Thanksgiving? That'll be fun to apply. And then the equations for enlightenment. Obviously, I like equations.
Mm-hmm.
And I help you to discover three of the most important equations that I've used over the years to help myself heal, to continue myself on this path. I'm not enlightened by any means, but I know people who are, and I actually have been able to glean mystically what it took to get there. And my gift is to simplify the very complicated stuff. That's one of my talents.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular class, none of this is beginner level by any means, by the way. Some of it's very complex concepts that you're going to want to listen to and absorb more than once. And equations for enlightenment is definitely one of those. And then full body discernment. I mentioned that earlier. I walk you into exactly how to use your body for full body discernment in every moment, so that when you're around anyone at all, any person, place, situation, or any decision in your life, should I eat this soup or this soup?
Right.
Should I move to this town or this town? Should I take this job or this job? Do I date this person or not? All the important stuff and all the mundane stuff. Well, I teach you how to use your whole body to make decisions so that you don't have to depend on psychics and oracles like me. Yay. And then, of course, healing polarities. Well, remember that whole point of the universe is to discover what is love. And in discovering that, you find out what is not love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the foundation of duality in the universe. Duality is handy. Now, we often will feel like duality is a problem, but it's actually incredibly useful. And so I help you to actually learn how to use all those polarities in your life to advance yourself and to get off the hamster wheel. The spinning between worthlessness and arrogance, or victimhood and tyranthood, or, you know, abundance and lack. Those are polarities that are showing up in all of our lives. How do you actually learn from them? How do you dissolve them? And how do you step off the hamster wheel of the spinning and the polarity so you can find the next great polarity that you can learn from? So remember, I told you I stopped chopping demon heads off. That was working in the realm of good and evil. There's a polarity. I healed that polarity in myself, and then I found another polarity, dark and light. I healed that one in myself, and then I found another one, formlessness and density. That's where I'm at now. And what will happen when I heal that on the other side? I've got no idea, but there's going to be a polarity.
Right.
That helps with the spin part, definitely. And then just as an additional piece, my husband is a fabulous music producer, and now you can actually hear some of the outcome of all that unconditional love. Well, Drew was able to, with healing himself by learning how to be in unconditional love fully, forgiving himself, he got access to all the things he needed to produce better and more music. This is some of that. So you can actually hear the outcome of it. And I love the frequency he puts out. It's this very high vibe, really awake music that I just love so much, and I'm his biggest fan. So I just love giving you access to some of my favorite music.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's the package. I wanted it to be affordable. I want you to be able to come and get access to what you need so you can actually start practicing this stuff right away in really actual, actionable, yet simple, profound pieces that will give you the measurable results. And now coming into the school year, coming into the holiday season, being able to apply it and watch the measurable results in front of your face actually happen. And that's what those classes are for. Anyone who's ever taken those classes with me always says that they listen to it like 5 times, because every time they listen to it, they'll get something new. Because, you know, we're changing every day, and then you're going to get whatever you need that day. But these classes are complex enough and at such an advanced level of thinking that there's going to be layers in it. Yet at the same time, balancing it with simplicity, simple actions, simple tips that you can start to play with, and then modify for yourself so that they act for you in a way that's going to be unique to you, because you're special. You're unique in the whole entire universe. There's nobody like you anywhere in the whole universe, which is really big.
That is true.
There's only one you.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad to call out your soul right now. And call you out your uniqueness. You're feeding back to the source field everything it needs to know from your experience. Nothing more and nothing less. Just that.
Beautiful. And I mean, and this whole package is so powerful, because like you said, it is advanced information, but with simple tools that we can start to use right now. And that's the thing. If you really want to change your reality, if you would like to change your life, then we have to learn to do things differently. We have to come from that soul place. You know, we are that soul. Instead of, you know, reacting and focusing on the drama and trauma, you know, like I did a little bit this weekend, even though I saw it and I see it happening. It's like, I know what's going on. And it's like, oh, you know, but I still got a little bit carried away in the drama trauma myself.
Oh, yeah, me too. Loads.
It's still good to see, right? And so it's like, all right, I knew where I was functioning from. I knew where this other person was functioning from. So I was like, all right, got it, you know? So, but the thing is, you know, some of the processes or tips that we learned today on the call were so simple and so powerful and so easy that we can all do. Some of those invocations we can all use to shift our energy, to start changing our reality, and to, you know, as we're moving forward, be the soul that we truly are, and radiate that unconditional love, radiate that peace, and radiate that grace that source truly is, right?
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a good summary.
Thank you. And, you know, I just want to share that, you know, like, we always learn so much when you come on the show, Liz. That last time it was amazing and awesome. And this time again, it was amazing and awesome. Always something new and always something like specific and relevant to, I know for myself, like definitely relevant to me, what you shared, right? But it can be relevant, and it doesn't have to be, you know, big and huge to be life-changing. You know, it can be as simple as recognizing I'm a soul. And the person I'm talking to right now, Elizabeth, is a soul having an Elizabeth experience. Right?
And that's what that word namaste means.
Yeah. Yeah. I bow to the light within you, or bow to source within you, or, you know.
Yes, the soul within you. And to reclaim that as our mindset from here out, that's what's going to help us to traverse the next level of consciousness we're at. No one's been here before. Mm-hmm. This is new for all of us, awakened or not. This is new, and it's us who are writing the new old books, I like to say. It's us. We're on the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. You're on the cutting edge. No matter how mundane and crappy your life might seem at the moment, or in lack or in fear and all of that, no matter what, you're on the cutting edge right now. What you do today and tomorrow and from here on out, with this mindset shift, is going to change the world and make it so that humans can get through this navigational period. As a seer, I see the hard road it's going to take to get to the golden age. Mm-hmm. I see the golden age, but I see the hard road that it's going to take. There's a lot of dismantling, destruction, rebuilding, reclaiming that we need to do. And that's going to start with you reclaiming who you are, your remembrance. You didn't sign any false contracts. You don't have to forget who you are. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. And that can start right now.
Now.
Right now. You know, remember, you are a soul.
That's right.
Simple as that, right? And feel that in your being, feel that in your heart, or however you do, you know, acknowledge that, right? And say that every day. I was reading something just recently, and that's one of the affirmations that they say every night is like, I am a soul. I'm not this body. I am a soul, right?
Yeah.
To remind ourselves so that we remember that that's what we are. And we can have those awakened moments, you know, many times a day. It doesn't have to be like, you know, I'm suddenly that's awake, right? And I'm awake forever. No, I can have an awake moment.
Upkeep.
And then continue.
We got to upkeep the way. Because, you know, sometimes I'm not in I don't feel like I'm in control, and my body and emotions and mind are in control. And then when that happens, I step away for a minute and I do that same exact thing. You know what? Who's really in charge right now? Who's mm-hmm. in charge? I'm in charge. I'm the soul in charge. And then I command out the energies I don't want, and I replace them with what I do want, and I move from there. Mm. And I reclaim my command over my experience.
And so that's key.
All the time. It is. It's very key.
Yeah.
Don't worry if you end up, you know, feeling like your body and emotions and mind are in charge, or the oppression is in charge. Don't beat yourself up over it, because this is a continued journey. You know, the enlightened people I have the pleasure of connecting with say the fear doesn't go away. That's not the point. The fear doesn't go away. The pain doesn't go away. That's not the point. Suffering is realizing that that doesn't rule you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not ruled by the fear and the pain. That it's actually incredibly useful, and that by going into it, you advance yourself into a state of being a sovereign soul more and more and more until you are in a state of enlightenment where you remain awake at all times and no reactions occur that you don't feel like you're in command over any longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what those folks who've reached and attained that state have said, and it took a lot of hard work to get there, a lot of practice, a lot of maintenance, and they continue to maintain it. Enlightenment isn't something you get in and stay in. You maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
it's moment by moment, day by day, you know, and part of that is being present and not getting caught up in the automatic pilot or getting caught up in our drama and trauma, getting caught up in our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, remembering, I am a soul, having this Alara experience. That's going to be my new mantra. That's my new mantra.
Yeah, I can tell.
Having this Alara experience. Okay, awesome.
Those are the real, raw relationships. When we talk about real, we're talking about the soul. When we talk about raw, we're talking about calling out the raw, real version of each conscious being around us and ourselves. That's real and that's raw. And noticing it in every moment that you're in suffering, anytime you're in physical, mental, emotional pain, recognizing it, that's real, that's raw.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to call it out in front of it, in one, hey, that's not your soul speaking. Who's speaking? Your trauma? Your drama, your oppression, because that's not really you. That's real. That's raw.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, I love it.
I mean, people gonna like it when you do that?
Nope.
No. Some will, and you can do it with supreme gentleness. Supreme gentleness is different than just plain gentleness.
I would just do it with myself first before I even go anywhere near anybody else.
Do it with yourself, or like in the case with my dear mother-in-law, supreme gentleness.
Yeah, or I can do it with my puppy.
Your soul values truth and justice and fairness right now. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less. Calling it out from them. You'll get better and better as you practice being a soul first. Get better and better at knowing what to draw out in others that will help their souls be aware.
And even as you were just doing this right now, talking about your mother-in-law, just really quickly, I took a deep breath and let it out, you know?
Yeah, me too. I can feel it too, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
Because we are all connected. Nobody wanting to do that.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. And I would recommend all of you, please go back and watch this again or listen to this again, because there is so much wisdom and so many of those simple tools and processes that you can start to use every day, especially if you're feeling oppressed, if you're not just feeling oppressed, but being oppressed, you know, so, and we all are, you know, so let's face it, we all are. So use those invocations and commands so that you can be clear and recognize again and be that soul in charge, like Elizabeth was saying, you know, be that soul in charge, because you can be. That those entities, those oppressions, those bullies, you know, using specific words for specific people on purpose, they don't have power over you. They don't have to have power over you. You can be the soul in charge. Okay?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let me bring this full circle to galactic and quantum anthropology, because you asked me, what the heck's that?
I did. I said, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
We will. Let's go into it next time. We'll go into the true history of the human earth and galactic and quantum anthropology. Anthropology being the study of human beings, past, present, and future. And so I'm a galactic anthropologist, a quantum anthropologist. No, I didn't get degrees in those because you won't find them because they're new branches of science. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the only one who's in this realm at all. But as a galactic anthropologist, I'm here to help you and all of the human race to recognize the playing field that we are on is not all isolated and alone, that our earthly experience as a human race is a galactic one. Mm-hmm. That's the playing ground we're on. That's the history I'm interested in. What is the galactic history of the human race? That is something very much worthwhile looking at, because everything you do is affecting the galactic situation out there.
Wow.
So by you calling your soul out in every moment, I am a soul, I'm the soul in charge, you're actually helping to shift the human race's position at a galactic level. And then there's the quantum level, which is equally as important. Those are the subtle things that we have a hard time noticing or seeing. Mm-hmm. It's the subtle ways that unconditionally loving my husband suddenly adds to an incredible amount of quantum information that feeds back into the human race that will help heal the masculine and help heal the feminine and help heal the relationship between them. And much more beyond that. Every tiny little thing you do has a quantum effect. And that's because of quantum entanglement. So anthropologically, I don't come from an ordinary position examining the human race, like just on this planet and just at the 3D level. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm a futurist. I want to know how we're going to get to the golden age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what it's really going to take. It requires us to have galactic consciousness and quantum consciousness along with that 3D perspective. And that's why I keep telling you, your body is the key. Your body is the key to it all. And at a galactic level, that's true. Why do you think there's been so many hundreds and perhaps thousands of different races interested in human beings? That's why. We are unique and very precious. And there's so much more to that. We'll go into that in another show.
We definitely have to have a conversation about that, for sure. Absolutely. But you're going to have to maybe send me stuff in beforehand so that I can at least wrap my head around it a little bit so that I can ask good questions.
I got you covered. Love it.
But I love it because it's you know, we don't think about that. You know, we never look at that, what we're doing here all the stuff that we're healing, all the stuff that we're clearing, how we're being, how we're radiating love and light, how that is affecting anything else beyond our simple little reality, right? We don't think about that. Yeah. Or we don't know how it's affecting it, you know? Like, we don't know the effect that we have on at the galactic level. I mean, I can't even say it. It's like...
Right. And right? Eventually, as you're practicing being the soul in charge, you'll get these glimpses of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it may just look like, you know, well, you never know what it'll look like because Source will show you all kinds of things if you're open. But I see humanity as a vulnerable population. And often when people are wondering, well, what am I here to do exactly? Besides being able to keep continuing to answer what is love,
mm-hmm.
you're here to find out what is the vulnerable population that you're here to serve. And so in humanity, we've got a lot of those populations, animals, plants, children, pregnant women, birthing women, veterans, sick people mentally, emotionally, physically,
mm-hmm.
Incarcerated people. I got lots and lots of lists of the vulnerable. Well, having been practicing as a galactic anthropologist, looking at the galactic situation we're in at all times as part of a big factor, we don't often know how that is actually in play on our planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell you that in the galactic situation, humanity is a vulnerable population.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is an oppressed slave race, and I'm here, and so are many of you, and I'm calling that out on you. I'm here to help us end that. My job is to serve all of humanity. I don't have a niche market. My niche
humanity. Yeah.
And so are many of you. We're here to call out the souls of humanity. So that's just a cool additional piece I just wanted to add in around that.
Thank you. No, I love that. And that's the thing too, even for myself, even right now, as we were talking about this galactic, I actually felt my something expanding, you know, and it's like mind blown, you know, that's like I'm getting some download now about the galactic. It's like, I couldn't even think of it before. I couldn't even say it. And as I said it, I felt that expansion, you know, so it's like, okay, cool. Awesome. You know, so it's like, there's stuff is, you know, untangling as we were just talking right now, just those 5 minutes about the galactic situation.
It does some weird stuff to your perception of reality when you start thinking about things at that level. And that opens you up into perceiving what's available at all these dimensional levels.
Yeah, beautiful. And what is love, right? What is love? And so you're also going to learn what is not love. Yeah. Absolutely. I love it. Wow. Yeah, definitely. We definitely have to have another conversation about the...
Good, we will.
galactic anthropology and quantum anthropology. Definitely. Yeah, I love it. So thank you, everyone. I know we didn't get to probably all the questions, you know, I apologize. But please do, if you'd like to work more with Elizabeth, please do take a look at this special offer. It's available at lr.at/show/Elizabeth8. And so much to learn in the group calls, the monthly calls, the 4 master classes, and be inspired and uplifted and elevated by the music that her husband Drew has created as well. So that is also going to elevate the planet. That is also going to raise the vibration of the planet, right?
Play it loud.
And humanity. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. So much fun. Learned so much, you know. Mind expanded, so I'm just like so grateful. Thank you.
I love you too.
And thank you everyone for being with us, sharing with us, asking your questions, opening up this space to receive more and to be more. And you know, be your soul. Call out your soul and say, I am a soul and I'm having this Lisa experience, like Lisa wrote in the chat. I'm having this Lisa experience. I am a soul, I'm having this Lisa experience. Absolutely. And say that 20 times a day and start to feel it, and then start to recognize the people around you. And again,
you'll embody it and call it out in the people around you. Exactly.
And, you know, and be the love, right? ask yourself, what is love? Show me love, right? And be that love and radiate that love. We can all make a difference, and we are making a difference, whether we know it or not. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful for all of you for being here with us. And until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always.
Namaste, everyone.
Namaste, everyone. Bye for now.